Broken Bulbs is a proud member of the Create Vine and is presented by Williams Rutledge.
The first thing to remember is, you know, if someone unsubscribes, it's not the end of the world. It's because that person isn't a right fit for you anyway. And I think that's probably what I was most scared of back then. I was like, I don't want to lose loads of subscribers as I spent all this time at building.
Alex Williams here to welcome you back to Broken Bulbs, the show for entrepreneurs, creators, and builders who need to keep it real. Today, I'm joined by James Mulvaney. Now, get this. James is the host of the Matched podcast. He has worked in radio for years, running companies and selling a variety of products and services along the way. Most notably to podcasters is podcast.co and matchmaker.fm. But early in his career, James sat on an email list of thousands because he was scared of marketing to them. That's coming up after the break. Broken Bulbs just launched, and we've already seen some great success. That success doesn't come without a huge team, and you are part of that team by leaving a review and sharing the show with a friend or family member who you think might get something out of it. You're helping support the show, allowing us to continue sharing these lessons of growth. You can leave a review by going to ratethispodcast.com/bulbs. It's the first link in the show notes. Now, on to the show. James Mulvaney, ready to talk about one of your broken bulbs?
Absolutely. It's just exciting to be here, Alex.
I'm excited to have you, and I'm excited to jump into this first one. So let's talk about marketing mistakes in one of your first early business ventures. Why don't you lay the groundwork for us and fill us in on how that experience started out?
Absolutely. So I started business when I was really young, and I was also interested in going to radio as a DJ. So as I was kind of getting work experience doing different things for different radio stations, I sort of learned the rap of what goes on behind the scenes, how you actually broadcast online. So I thought it was a good idea to set up a business selling streaming media services to the industry. Now, I was a total rookie. I knew a little bit about the tech stuff, but I didn't know loads. I certainly didn't know anything about marketing or sales. So fast forward a couple of years, I was probably about 19 years old. I was at university and the business had started doing all right. You know, I had clients, we were making, you know, a good monthly revenue. And I was really at a stage where I knew that by the time I graduated, I would be in a position where I could work for myself, you know, and I didn't have to worry about then going out and finding a job. But, you know, when I was kind of at this age, 18, 19, 20, I kind of always knew that I was like, I'm not a marketer. I'm not a salesperson. I was kind of like, I'm more the tech guy. I'm the sort of the nerdy guy who's basically operating behind the scenes and problem solving and making things work. So I had a website, but you know, I'd never really spent any time learning how to do marketing. And I kind of knew that if I was going to grow this business to the next level, that's something I needed to learn. I knew I needed to have to get into marketing in order to grow the business. So one of the things I learned, you know, when I was kind of starting to get into it and really discover marketing and what is marketing and, you know, how do you use that to grow an online business is you need to build an email list. And that's, you know, I had a kind of email addresses of our existing customers, but I had no way of capturing emails, you know, for people who might then end up turning into customers. So I kind of built this free piece of software, which was really relevant to the market we were serving. And, you know, it was an instant hit. You know, I was giving this away for free. It was something of genuine value to lots of people. So we managed to grow the list from zero to about 20,000 within probably about a year. But, you know, here was the thing. I didn't actually know what to do with this list. I know everyone was saying, build a list, build a list, build a list. But I was kind of scared. I suppose it was like fear holding me back, thinking if I send an email to this list, you know, everyone's going to click on unsubscribe, or people are going to accuse me of spamming them. Or, you know, it was probably also, I didn't really know what to say. I didn't know how to sell. Or I just thought, you know, well, I've got this list and I don't really kind of want to ruin it by sending out emails and it just not working. So it was a lot of like fear holding me back. And I probably waited another 2 years. And by this stage, this list had grown to about 60,000. So, you know, a really big focused list. And it's one of these things that I look back on and I think I was absolutely crazy to not take advantage of it. Because, of course, when I finally actually got round to sending out emails to this list and, you know, starting to promote products and services we were launching, of course, then I started making significantly more money and actually had my first 20K week with sort of a new product that we've just launched. And I was like, now I look back at it, I think, why didn't I do that like 2 years earlier? Because my business would have probably been 2 years ahead Instead, I kind of just sat on and sort of was like scared to actually click that send button. So I got really good at growing lists, but actually not very good at emailing.
I think there are probably almost certainly more people who struggle with that than you think. I'm in the process of building a list right now, and I'm still sitting there thinking, what am I going to say? What's my first email? So I'm curious, what was your first email?
It was a case of, let's just promote this product. You know, all these people on this list, I knew that they were targeted relevant leads and they'd probably be interested in buying the product. So it was really just taking that plunge, I think, and finally actually getting around to selling them something. I think the years leading up to that, I was kind of scared that people would just, as I say, think, oh, this is just a guy trying to sell me stuff. So I'm not, you know, and I kind of didn't want to almost, I felt like I didn't want to interrupt this thing that I'd built, when actually it was sat there and just completely just waste of space. You know, there's no point having a list of targeted leads if you're not contacting them to try and sell them stuff. And then once you sell them one something, you need to try and sell them more things. And it's just such a simple formula. But like, for some reason, I just had this mental block, you know, at that young age, and I just wasn't sure what to do. And it's completely bizarre, because now, of course, in all my businesses, that's the first thing we do when we set up a website, is we immediately think, right, okay, how do we capture leads on this website? You know, every website should be doing that. And of course, it's about then nurturing that relationship you have with the lead. So it's not necessarily just about selling people something from the get-go. But our approach nowadays is very much just nurture that relationship, deliver value to that person, you know, send them lots of cool things, teach them interesting techniques, you know, share videos with them, etc. That's proven to be kind of like the winning formula. But as I say, going back to where I started, like, that was just completely unobvious to me. I kind of think I just assumed I had to email them constantly selling them things. And I think that's probably what put me off.
That's interesting. I like that distinction between selling something through the list and nurturing a relationship through the list. So now, years later, you have a couple businesses and a few different products that you work with, and I imagine a fairly large client base. So what is it that you do to nurture those leads? How do you take care of those people who do decide to sign up and who do decide to invest their time, if not their money, in you?
The first thing to remember is, you know, if someone unsubscribes, it's not the end of the world. It's because that person isn't a right fit for you anyway. And I think that's probably what I was most scared of back then. I was like, I don't want to lose loads of subscribers that I spent all this time at building. But of course, you know, it's a case of, you know, if you sort of start spamming people from the get-go and you're trying to sell them stuff constantly, then chances are people do unsubscribe. So the best way of doing it is, yeah, you can sell them things, sure. But I think in between that, you need to be providing content. So for example, if we create a new video, which might teach, you know, certain things. So for example, on podcast.co, we're always creating content about, you know, how to create podcasts. And then once you've got a podcast, how do you grow it? How do you get more listeners? So all of that kind of content, we're making sure that we send that out to the list. Which in turn helps drive traffic back to our website. And then obviously sometimes those people make a purchase. But then of course, if you're providing value to your list, when you do actually directly say to someone, hey, check this product out, we've just launched, we think it might be of interest to you, you've kind of built up that goodwill, I think, which stands for a lot. And you know, if you've built that goodwill up, people are more likely to open your email because they like getting your emails, they like receiving your content. And then when you do try and sell them something, chances are it's going to be more effective because of that.
Maybe summarizing this whole experience into one sentence, one lesson that people can take away. What would you say to people who are maybe looking to start an email list or have something and they don't know how to get it out there? In one sentence, what would you say?
Right. So I think building a list is really valuable. So that was the thing I got right from the get-go. Where I was failing is I wasn't contacting that list with information that was useful to them. The easiest way to start looking at what kind of content that you can send to people is either by having conversations with your existing customers or your prospects. So look at what questions are coming in via your contact form on the site. Look at what questions people are asking you on social media, or what comment threads are getting the most attention in your industry. And then just start building content around those common questions. That's the easiest and quickest way to start producing content that you know will be helpful for your market or your niche.
And of course, at the end of every episode, we invite you to share that one bulb, that one idea, the 1,000th try that's working for you now. So feel free to brag a little bit, plug all your stuff. What is working for you, James?
Recently, we've just launched a community called matchmaker.fm, which is how we met, actually, Alex. And it's basically a community which connects podcasters and guests. So if you have a business or a startup, you've got products that you want to sell, appearing on podcasts is a fantastic way of really putting yourself in front of much wider audience that would have already been aware of you. And Matchmaker is the place to do that. It's the place to go and build those connections.
That's where most of the guests for this show have come from so far. And I've been using it for a while and love it. So thank you, James, very much for joining us today.
Thanks, Alex.
And thank you for listening. Special thank you to James Mulvaney for joining me and being willing to talk about his broken bulbs. Be sure to check out his work, particularly matchmaker.fm, in the show notes. You can also leave us a review using the first link in the show notes. Broken Bulbs is a co-production of Williams Rutledge and Mecco Radio, and we are, of course, a proud member of the Create Vine. I, Alex Williams, was your host. The podcast artwork was by Bethany Gustafson, and the music in this episode was by Brian Claxton and Wesley Thomas. Oh, and thanks again for listening. Mecco.